This is Richard Pizzi, editor of Healthcare Finance News. Today I'm speaking with Dr. James Levette, chairman of the American Society for Quality's Healthcare Division and chief medical officer for the Physicians Clinic of Iowa. I'm speaking with Dr. Levette about a recent study that the American Society for Quality undertook. It's the first study to investigate the implementation of Lean and Six Sigma management methods in U.S. hospitals. Dr. Levette says that U.S. hospitals are beginning to embrace Lean and Six Sigma business management strategies in order to reduce costs and improve productivity. During our discussion, we touch on topics such as the reasons why hospitals might want to use Lean and Six Sigma techniques, the challenge of implementing these strategies, and the cost to healthcare systems of using Lean and Six Sigma.
Now, I wanted to ask you a few questions about the study, but also about Lean and Six Sigma strategies and how they can work in healthcare. The hospital study that the ASQ did, was it surprising to you the results that indicated that Lean and Six Sigma strategies were being deployed in kind of greater numbers?
No, it wasn't surprising at all. And that may be because I've sort of followed this over the last 10 years or so, but it was pretty clear to me that within the quality areas of hospitals, there was a lot of interest in employing tools that have been used in industry for many years. And that sort of interest from the hospital side has clearly increased over the last few years. And I think because I was aware that I'm interested in quality systems and healthcare in general, I was aware that hospitals had been using more and more of these techniques, and Lean and Six Sigma are probably the leading techniques and quality systems that have been utilized by hospitals.
Now, I wonder if you could distinguish between the two and talking about how hospitals or different clinical departments within hospitals make use of these techniques, Lean versus Six Sigma.
Well, they have some similarities and they have some differences. The focus for Lean is to remove waste and improve workflow and process flows within an organization, whether it's an industrial type of a business or a service business. But the techniques that are utilized by Lean come out of the Toyota production system, which has been used for since probably the 50s and 60s by Toyota, and that's been a very successful way of managing, of both organizing and managing a business in a way that gives a lot of value to customers and produces very good products at a low price. So the use of that in healthcare has been, I think, fairly, has affected a lot of areas within a healthcare organization. I think it's been used quite a bit in things like the operating room, where that whole process of bringing a patient into a pre-op area, going through a registration process, getting them ready for surgery, and so on, all through the operating experience, through the operative experience, has been used. Hospitals have used Lean to do that. The emergency room has been another area that's been fairly popular for hospitals to use Lean systems, Lean techniques. Admissions and discharge and radiology areas are other ones that I think has been used quite a bit. The study, I think, also found that the purchasing and information system for areas where Lean was popular. Six Sigma came out of out of Motorola and General Electric in the late 80s and 90s as basically a very sophisticated tool that really wasn't new in many areas because it used older concepts, but it was put together in a very high-level way to develop a methodology for tackling problems using fair amount of statistics and fairly sophisticated methodology. But the focus for Six Sigma was more on reducing variation within a process. And so the idea there would be that you could focus a Six Sigma project, we'll say, on trying to figure out why the waiting time in the emergency room was 2 hours. Okay, so you want to reduce that variation and get that down. You could employ Six Sigma techniques to really focus in on that. And that's been used extensively in many industries and in some healthcare organizations as well. The areas that we found that Six Sigma was popular, you know, used a lot in hospitals, again, were the ER and the operating room, the emergency room and the operating room, as well as in the other areas such as radiology and admission and discharge areas. Purchasing is also another popular area for Six Sigma. The most recent programs and certifications have tended now to combine Lean and Six Sigma, and I'm speaking in general terms, not just directed to healthcare, but I think the training now is going more towards what they call a Lean Sigma approach. We're using some Lean and some Six Sigma to both train people in the techniques as well as deploy them in your studies, you know, in your areas that you're working on. So I think they both have value, and I think combining them is being found now to be more of a benefit as a kind of a very strong, very powerful tool. Does that answer your question?
It does, yes. And now when healthcare organizations decide to implement the Lean and or Six Sigma, does it usually start in clinical sites such as, as you indicate, the emergency room or the operating room, or does it start in the non-clinical departments? Or how does the organizations usually go about?
That's a good question. I'm guessing, to be honest with you, because I've seen it happen in both directions. I think some hospitals will recognize a need. Let's say the emergency room is backed up, so they need to deal with that. So they come in and they employ a Six Sigma or a Lean or a combination of that methodology to try to figure that problem out. So that's a clinical area, right? Whereas another hospital or a system might have a billing problem, which is, you know, really non-clinical in a strict sense, so they would tackle it. You know, they would address that problem with billing using a Six Sigma or Lean, whatever. So I think it could come from both directions. And I'm not sure that I would be able to tell you accurately which is more likely to occur. I think there's clearly a lot more going on out there in many healthcare organizations than I know about. And every time I pick up something or, you know, Google something or read another article, there's somebody else doing things. So I suspect that it's probably from both areas, you know, both clinical and non-clinical. I would add, though, that I think it's really important to keep in mind that most of these kinds of methodologies only succeed if you got buy-in from the leadership, you know, from the top of your organization. So you can bring in a project manager and do a little project on Lean or Six Sigma or whatever, but that may be a successful experience for an area of your hospital such as an ER or something. But I think if you really want to get a culture change within an organization where you've got real improvement and a real quality culture, you really have to have support and buy-in from the top to keep it going and to keep reminding, you know, everybody in the organization that this is an important part of what you're doing and that you got to think about it and you got to keep working on it. So it isn't like you just take one project, do it, and then forget about it. And many of us have done that over the years, you know. So it's important, I think, that the leadership says, hey, we're gonna go Lean, we're moving seriously, we're going to do this every day, and we're going to keep at it, or, you know, whatever whatever it's Lean Six Sigma, whatever it is.
Now, what kind of investment on the part of hospitals is required for programs like Lean or Six Sigma?
Well, what we found was that in the of the 77 hospitals that were surveyed in the ASQ study, we found that the median investment in 2007, a study was done, was for Lean was $25,000, and for Six Sigma was about $96,000. So it was quite a bit more for Six Sigma than Lean. I don't know if that's true, you know, across the board, but I think it probably reflects the fact that that Lean does tend to be a little bit easier to implement. You don't have to have as much training to do it. You don't have to have specialized black belts to deploy it. And it has kind of an appeal in the sense it's sort of logical and fairly straightforward to do it. Six Sigma, I think, is at least in a training sense, is more sophisticated and more difficult to learn it. So you have to have more formalized training. And the people that do it, I think, are fairly experienced or well paid. And I suspect it's probably more of an expensive adventure for, you know, more of an expensive venture for an organization to do that. Does that help?
Does the size of a hospital or other healthcare organization matter in regard to the success of implementing these strategies? I mean, for instance, would a smaller community hospital versus a large academic medical center have more or less difficulty in implementing these strategies?
Well, I think dollar for dollar they wouldn't, but I suspect that a smaller hospital would have less money for or fewer resources to utilize to do these things. So, but the bigger systems tend to have a lot more money to do quality projects, and I suspect if they make their minds up with the kind of leadership that they need to have, in terms of the leadership's behind it, you can probably get a lot of resources, put into it. Nevertheless, there are certainly examples of smaller hospitals that have done a very good job doing Lean initiatives or even Six Sigma initiatives. But I think, as I said before, the training and the money involved for Six Sigma is a little bit higher level cost than it is for Lean.
So the lack of resources might be the number one reason a healthcare organization does not decide to do Lean or Six Sigma.
Right. Okay. I think that's a fair statement. I think we had some data on that, didn't we? The lack of resources, I think about almost 60% of the hospitals said that they didn't deploy it because of the resource problem. Another reason was they didn't have enough information to deploy it, or didn't have leadership buy-in. As I said before, that's the leadership part is, I think, key, to get things done and to keep them sustained. That's the other thing. It's easy to do a project here and there, but to sustain that kind of improvement and keep it going, you really need leadership behind it.
Now, I'm wondering in regard to all the discussion now in Congress about healthcare reform and what are the appropriate strategies to take. Do you think investing in projects like Lean and Six Sigma would be a good aspect of healthcare reform strategies?
Yes, I do. I think that there's clearly a huge amount of experience within the American industry, and as well as worldwide, that can be brought into healthcare, and these are good examples. I mean, Lean and Six Sigma didn't start in healthcare, that's for sure. But these kinds of methodologies and systems and some tools can be brought into healthcare to to help us do a better job of caring for patients as well as reducing costs. And I think that some of the support that's going to be provided through the healthcare reform money would be very well spent in helping hospitals and other provider organizations to use these tools and use these systems to do a better job. One thing that we've been interested in at ASQ is the concept of the electronic medical record systems that are going to be supported very heavily by the government. Our concern is that buying an electronic medical record for a doctor's office isn't going to make the office better. And before you deploy sophisticated and expensive computer systems, you really need to look at the workflow within the office, look at the processes and the ways you do things within your setting to begin with in order to understand how that is going to be changed as well as how it's going to fit with an electronic medical record system. So our concern is that you ought to be doing workflow analysis and improve your practice efficiencies and understand them better before you just throw a brand new computer in there, which may not get used very well, or certainly not as effectively as it could be otherwise. So we're working very seriously on that, on that particular issue right now.
Along those lines,
it's a little off the subject.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's definitely most relevant. Along the lines of how individual healthcare systems implement these strategies, you talked about buy-in from the top, the leadership on down. If healthcare organizations, hospitals, or large physician practices are thinking about implementing these strategies, what are some other tips that you would have to the leadership in making sure that these are successful?
Well, I would, to the leadership?
Or throughout the organization generally, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I would say that in order to succeed, I think you need to think of it in terms of a system. In other words, you need to think of the organization, the hospital or the group of hospitals or whatever it is, as a system that is linked together, that has parts that interact with one another, and that in order to really make the whole system better, you have to bring these kinds of tools and methodologies into the system, and you have to make them available to a number of different parts of the system, and it becomes part of your culture. And that doesn't happen overnight. So it's going to require some time. It's going to require probably 2 to 3 to 4 years to change the culture of an organization. If you want the culture to become one of improved quality and, patient safety, then you have to remind yourself and your employees that that's what you're doing. You have to have good communication strategy with throughout your organization. You have to have ways that you train people, make them familiar, educate them, train them, and make them familiar with the techniques. And then you have to start with things you can accomplish, and then make that, publish that within your organization, make it known so people feel like they're learning something, and they're getting somewhere. But you've got to have a consistent message. If you're changing your message or your methodology every month or two, people are going to tend to ignore it because they don't believe it's going to be there next month. So you got to have a consistent message, and you got to have a good way of communicating that, and you got to just be faithful about continuing to do it. And it's hard work. There's nothing magical about it. It's hard work like anything else. It's not a hedge fund. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just damn hard work. You just got to do it.